So Rav said, what I'd like you to have open in front of you is Sugas Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. And this is the Gemara that we're up to in my morning class that I give up the block. But that's a more of a fast-paced shiur. This is an Iyun shiur. And we're looking at Omar Abaye, and you'll see this if you count up from the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, about six lines. Let's count it. One, two, three, four, five, six lines up. Omar Abaye. Ba aleha umesa potur. Shenemar vinasan lavi anara velo lavi mesa. So notice a few things that are going on here. And you could read this without paying attention. This Gemara of Abaye, this formulation of Abaye, stands in contrast to other examples of what we call Hafkas Schusa'av, that the father is out of the picture. In other cases, and I'm going to give you two cases that are going to come up in the Gemara, the father is out of the picture, but it doesn't say potter. The word potter doesn't appear. But what rather appears is that the knas goes to her instead of her father. So let's give two examples. Example number one is bagra. The Torah says, v'nasan lavi hanara. The word v'nasan is focused on the hamad b'din, and it's the payment of the knas. The payment of the knas is to the father, but only because he is the Avi Hanara. If he's the Avi HaBogeres, so imagine that the onus took place when she was 12 and a quarter, but Amar Bedin took place after she became 12 and a half, and she's already Bogeres, then in this case, are we going to say that the Ma'anis is potter from the Knas? No.
No,
we're going to say, exactly, that she collects the Knas. I'll give you another example. Let's say the onus happened during her naros, and the hamad bedin happens during her naros. But in between the onus and the hamad bedin, she gets married. Now, when I say she gets married, I mean she becomes a nesua, not just an arusa, but a full-fledged married woman. In such a case, again, the father is knocked out of the picture because his rishus over her has terminated with her nesuin, but the knas will be collected by her. Here, in the case of Baal Leha Umesa, it doesn't say that the father is knocked out of the ballpark, meaning that his chus is paka, but it says potter, which means that Abai seems to be addressing himself to the ma'anis and saying to him that he doesn't have to pay the onus, he doesn't have to pay the knas. And that's going to lead us to two questions. One is a conceptual, logical question. The other is a technical question. The logical question is, well, why does Abai think that in the case of Mesa, the Ma'anis is completely potter? Well, why is he potter? He's not potter. It means the father's out of the picture because he doesn't have a reshus over his daughter if she's not alive. And the Torah says, "V'nasan la vi hanara, v'lo la vi amesa." Now, you might ask, well, you know, Bishleim, in the first two cases that we mentioned, Bogeres and Nesua, I understand that the Ma'anis is still going to pay a knas. He's going to pay it to her and not to the father. But in the case of Mesa, she's not around, so by default, The answer is that the Ma'anis is potter, but that's not right. Why isn't that right?
Because
of Yerusha, the laws of Yerusha. And the laws of Yerusha are going to kick in. Now let's say, for example, she has a live brother, and he would inherit her. Again, the Gemara is going to say that it's complicated to assume that she has a child, because we don't know that a woman can become pregnant and give birth within the 6 months of Naras. But again, that's a technical issue. Theoretically, if she had a son, Enochinami, her son, would inherit her rights to Knas. But that's not what Abai is saying. Abai is saying potter. he's addressing himself to the Ma'anis, and he's saying you don't have to pay the Knas under any circumstances. It's not just a question of where you know, to whose bank account do you have to deposit the check, but there's no chiyuv of Knas at all.
Why?
So, and we don't know why. So I'm just presenting the questions on the sugya. That was my introduction. That's question number one. So again, Rabbi Bossi, just to reiterate the question, in cases of Bogeres and Nesua, the halacha is only addressing who collects the knas, but not when there is knas. When we remove the father's rishus, it means that the knas goes elsewhere. It doesn't go to the father. He has no zchus tvia, but the knas is still alive and well. Yet, Abai seems to apply a different yardstick if you're very meticulous about his words, his formulation, in the case of Mesa. He's not willing to say the Pakus Chus Av, and therefore goes to her. If she's dead, it'll go to Yerushim. He's saying Potter, that the Ma'anis is Potter. What's the compelling reason to Abai's logic? Mm-hmm. Question number two. If we assume that Abai is just applying the general rules of Paka Rishus Ha'av, which apply when she becomes a Bogeres, or when she gets married, and he's applying it now to the case of Mesa, and we'll soon see that the father, after she dies, is not able to collect any funds that will come into her possession after the death, and those will go to the Yorishim. Again, he might look out and be a Yorish, but not in all cases. So it means that his, let's say, monetary control over her, of her whole possessions, is completely terminated with her death. Then if that be the case, if Abai is just simply applying that general rule of Pakas Chus Ha'av, which applied to Bogeres and to Nesua, and he's applying it now to Mesa, then why does Abai say Shenemar? As if to say, I derive this from a pasuk. And he has a drasha, v'nasan lavi hanara, and if the Torah didn't have to say nara here, it could have said liavia, or maybe it didn't even have to say liavia at all, because it says that in the previous pasuk. And he darshens v'lo lavi mesa. Who needs it? Once he has the xeris hakosuv of v'lo lebogeres, which the Gemara is going to say later on, that it says nara and not a bogeres, and it means that Paka Rishus Av, because she's already a Bogeres, she leaves the Rishus of the Av, then we should apply the same yardstick to the case of Aviv Mesa, because the din is that the father no longer has rights to any of her possessions, even possessions that will come in posthumously, those go to the Yerushim, not to the father. His Rishus is completely Paka with Mesa. Then why does Abai feel compelled to derive this Shenemar with a Pasuk? When I was a youngster, and we had a chazan, I don't know if you ever heard of him, in my father's shul, there was a chazan named Chatzkel Ritter. He was from the famous chazanim in America. Yet if you're not into chazanis, I don't blame your ignorance. It's funny. So he was known for Shenemar. Because in the Musaf service of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where it's full of Shenemar, it's at least 10 of them, so he used to sing Shenemar. I'm not going to sing it for you, I do remember how it goes, but I don't have the voice of Chatzkel Ritter, so I don't want to botch it up. Shenema, Shenema, Shenema. And then he would sing Shenema about 50 million times for each Shenema. I mean, that's why we got out very late on
I'd have been out there right after the second Shenema.
Right. So here's the Shenema. Here's Chatzkel Ritter's Shenema, right? That Abai has to say Shenema. And Abai is not really a Shenema because he's just applying a principle that's derived from other psukim about Paka Rishusa. Now the Gemara says something very strange. Milsa de pshita leila Abai mi boy leila Rava, meaning that Abai had a pasuk Shenemar, the old Shenemar, and Rava didn't have the Shenemar. So Rava was operating in pure logical terms, right? And al pisvara, Rava couldn't come to a conclusion about the case of Mesa Bito. If she dies after the onus happens, what do we do as far as Knas is concerned? And Rava vacillates. He says, Yesh baga bekever or ein baga bekever. Do we consider a Bogeres the moment she dies? Or do we say no? Right now she's with, and if we look at the calendar, the clock, there's within the 6-month period since she became a Nara, and we're still within that 6-month period, so she's not a Bogeres. How do we relate to her?
Is Rava saying that he's still measuring the time, and that when she gets to be 12 and a half, and then the kever would cause the bagrut? Or is he saying that the mere fact that she died, no matter when it was in the time span, she's
bagrut? So the answer to your question is that both are correct, and that's going to be a machlokas between two versions of Rav. There's one version of Rav which is called Yesh Baga Bekever or Ein Baga Bekever, and that's here on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. And then if you fast forward to Daf Lamed Tes Amid Aleph, you have Mar Baravashi, and Mar Baravashi, it's about in the middle of the page, Mar Baravashi has a different formulation. It's not Yesh Bagu Bekev or Ein Bagu Bekev, rather Misa Osa Bagu So Ein Osa Bagu.
Okay, that would be at the moment.
But exactly. If you hold Misa Osa Bagu, then we don't have to wait until the 6 month period of time passed. Yeah. Then she becomes, quote unquote, a Bogeres immediately upon her death, which means that the father is out of the picture, as we said before, because he doesn't have any Skuyot in his daughter after she dies, even for money that accrues subsequently.
But why does he lose?
Just one second. But in the first formulation of Rava, Rashi points out that boy Rava Yesh Baga Kever Ein Baga Kever means does she become a Bogeres with the passage of time after she's dead? Meaning, do we say that within the period of Narus, meaning the 6 month period of time, for sure the father would collect her knas? The suffix of Rava in formulation number one, which is called Yesh Baga Kever, is that perhaps the father is out of the picture even though she died as a Nara. And even though now, if she would have been alive, she would be a Bogeres. So 6 months have passed since her 12th birthday, and nevertheless the father is out of the picture. That's if you hold Yesh Baga Bekever. But let's say you hold Ein Baga Bekever. What would be in a case where he collects, he's suing the Ma'anes to pay up Knas, within the 12-month period of Narus? Again, she's already gone. She's buried. But nevertheless, we're within that 12-month period of time. What would be the din in that case? According to Rava's first formulation, Yesh Baga Bekever, Ein Baga Bekever? I'm trying to see if you're on board with me here. The father would collect the knas. In the first formulation, the only suffix of Rava is, do we freeze her status as a Nara, that's called Ein Baga Bekever, even after the 6 month period passes, and had she been alive, she'd be a Bogeres, she still retains the status of a Nara as far as Knas is concerned, meaning the father maintains his Rishus over her, because everything is, so to speak, frozen in time at the moment of her death. Or do we say Yesh Baga Bekever, which means that after the 6 month period of time passes, she became a Bogeres. Again, what I mean to say she became a Bogeres means we're counting a time period that she would become a Bogeres. And hence the father is out of the picture. But one thing is clear according to Rav, and he never doubted this, that within the Nairus period of time, within the 6 months, the father would collect the knas. That's completely antithetical to Abaye, because Abaye says that if she dies at that moment in time, so the Gemara says the Gemara concludes that milsud pshitale abai mi boyle l'rova, which means mi safkale l'rova, that's only according to Mar Baravashi. Okay, let's go over Mar Baravashi. Mar Baravashi is talking about misa osa bagrus or misa ena osa bagrus, which means does she become a bogeres, which means does she remove herself from the rishus of the av, or if we want to say it a little bit clearer, does the father's rishus terminate with misa? That's called misa osa bagus, and that's the statement one side in the suffix of Rav according to the formulation of Mar Baravashi. So that's called version number two of Rav. The first version of Rav is not reconcilable with Abai, because in the first version of Rava, Rava certainly assumed that despite the fact that the Nara died within the period of Nara, so that 6 months, the father would in fact collect the knas. The only suffix of Rava was, if we assume Yesh Baga Bekever, that means with the passage of the 6 month period of time, even though she's not alive, the father loses his rishus. That was the doubt. Rava clearly rejected Rava completely, certainly, without any shadow of a doubt, in the first formulation of Rava. Mashainkin, the second formulation of Rava, namely Magra Vashi of Misa Osa Bagrus or Eina Osa Bagrus, then we're talking within the 12 month, within the 6 month period of time between Naris and Bagrus. She died, and nevertheless, Rava, according to this formulation, had a doubt that maybe that already removes her from the shus of the father, which would be the same as whom? As Rava, as Abaye. Do you follow me? That's why the Gemara says, Milsa de Pshita le Abaye mi boile le Rava, meaning that Rava had one sad to agree with Abaye. That sad was called Misa Osa, I'm sorry, that's called Misa Osa Bagus. Okay, Misa Osa Bagus. Yeah, Alan.
Yeah, I don't understand how that, even if you say Misa Osa Bagus, still shouldn't be that way. It should be called,
it
like,
should be equal to Abaye.
It should be equal to Rava, because
I'm saying if Rava would hold in that side Misa Osa Bagrus, the Gemara is assuming that's Abaye.
It's not because it's, something has to happen, and there's no, and it's clear that Misa has to precede Bagrus, because the definition, until you, when do you look at Misa Osa Bagrus, you have to see if she's dead first, right? No matter what.
I lost on that. Again, here's the case.
I know it.
Here's the case. A man was Ma'anis and Nara, and then the next day, she died.
Right.
Or a month later, whatever it is.
Right.
Does the father right to sue Mr. Ma'anis for the knas?
Yes.
Rava says no, if you hold Miso Sabagrus. Abai says no, for sure. I don't even need to vacillate about Miso Sabagrus. But on its side, that Miso Sabagrus, then Rava is basically reiterating what we saw in Abai.
But why? Why is that?
Again, when you say why, do you mean logically why? Or why are we saying they're equal?
No, I mean,
what do you mean by why?
What I'd like to say like this.
I just want to know, does the Ma'anis get a bill? Is he billable for the knas of Hamishim?
According to Rava, no matter what.
He's not billable? No,
he is billable.
No, Rava says if you hold Miso Sabagrus, he's not billable.
That's right. So I don't understand how he could say Miso Sabagrus makes him billable, because
makes it unbillable.
But unbillable, because Misa still has to precede Bagrus, even if it's by seconds. It has to precede Bagrus. You can't say
no. Miso Sabagrus means she's a Bogaris now.
She's got to be dead before Bagrus occurs. That's because
right.
When you look at the word woman, she's
not sure.
Alive,
I don't know if it's
dead.
Before or simultaneous.
Well,
I would say it's simultaneous, you know, with her death.
It can't be simultaneous. You have to.
All right, well, again, but Al, why is this relevant to my discussion for today? My discussion for today is the following. Is there any difference between Rava, namely Miso Sabagris, and Abaye, who says Venosan La Via Nara Velo La Via Mesa? Is there any nafkamina between the two?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So the Gemara is justified by saying that Milsa de Pshita Le Abaye Misafka Le Rava, meaning Rava vacillated. According to one side, the Miso Sabagrus, she's a Bogaris at the moment she died. The father is out of the picture. And therefore, we can send a note, a very happy note to the Manes that you should know you're off the hook as far as Knas goes. That's exactly what Abaye said. The only difference is that Rava said it, I'll be Svara. Abaye said, I'll be Yalfusa. And the difference is going to be because Rava vacillated. If he's working with Svara, he's not sure that Miso Sabagrus. He says maybe Miso Eino Sabagrus. And that would be antithetical to Abaye. So the Gemara says, Milsa Pshitale Abaye, mi boile le Rava. So far we're doing well. Now, whether or not, you know, she becomes a Bogeris the second after she dies, or the very second that she dies, I don't know. You can rack your brains on that, but that's not relevant to my discussion today. Okay, then? But what is relevant to my discussion today? Is there really an equation between, an identity, I'll call it, between Abaye and Yesh Misa, and Misa Osa Bagrus? L'chor not. I'll tell you why. Because Misa Osa Bagrus takes us back to the case of a Bogeris. What do we say about a Bogeris? That the father is knocked out of the picture.
But she gets it.
But if you can't send a message to Mr. Ma'anes, hey buddy, you lucked out that this girl became a Bogeris. That's not good news for him. Because to him, it makes no bit of a difference.
He still has to pay.
He's going to have to pay. The question is, to which bank account does he deposit the money? To the father's bank account or the daughter's bank? If we apply that logic to the case of Misa, then the question is again, to whose bank account does he pay the knas? And that's what Rav is saying. Rav is saying that Misa Osa Bagrus, she is a Bogeris, and all the dinim of Bogeris apply. Does that mean that the Imanis doesn't pay the Knas? No, the question is to which bank account does he deposit the money? And for that, I have to learn Perkei Shnochlim and decide in the LP Seira Nachlis who's going to inherit the Knas. And when the judge finally determines who's next, the heir that's next in line, then we'll know what he should write, what the money should write on the check. That's not what Abai is saying. Abai is saying Potur. Remember our diuk from the beginning. Abai is saying send a message to the money. He lucked out. Z is gestorben and he lucked out because he doesn't pay the Knas. Not the question of who to whom. Right, that's right, going to be our issue for today, and this is the Haflaz cash that we want to study here on page Tough Mem Ches. How could it be that the Gemara identifies Rava with Abaye? Abaye is operating with Xeris HaKosuf, and the Yalfus of Abaye sets up a conclusion in which we're addressing the Knas. Imagine the Knas. Here's the Knas as an entity, and we're telling the Knas that the Avia Mesa, there's no Knas. That's not what Rav is saying. Rav is only saying direct the check not to the father, because with Misa she becomes a Bogeres. Rather write the check out to her Yorshim, because basically she should be collecting the Knas, which in fact in the case of Bogeres, which is that prototype case, that's exactly what happens. She's going to sue him in a court of law and he's going to pay the Knas.
But isn't there a difference?
Just one second, Alan. Yosef, did you...
There is a case like this in Yishin Ochlin.
About Knas?
Relation, no, it's not about Knas.
Oh, okay. Because we're going to have...
That the Kever links...
You mean Mishmash Nachla?
Yeah, links this relative to that one that died, and the person who is the link is dead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, we don't need that. All we need to know is the fine. Let me assume that Reuven borrowed money from this girl Leah. Okay? Leah dies. What happens with the chov that Reuven owes to Leah? The son of Leah will collect it. Again, if not the son, her brother, her father, her uncle, like, whatever it is. Whoever's first on the Seder Yerusha will collect that chol.
Right.
Okay? Now, she was raped, Nebuch, and now the Ma'anis owes her a chol. That's called 50 shkolah. Okay, she dies. Who inherits that chol? It's exactly the same as a malva and a lova. If the malva borrowed from this woman, he's going to have to pay. If she's dead, then who's ever next in line in the Yerusha will collect that coal.
But isn't there a difference because of the Knas?
Okay, good. That will get to it. And that's going to be a subject of the Meitzim Achlokas. But right now we're assuming like the Man Yomer, who says that there's no difference between Knas and Mamon. And just like Mamon goes through Yerusha, so too Knas goes through Yerusha. Again, and, you know, everything has to be addressed in its time. Because right now, what we're assuming, and the whole Gemara assumes, again, the Gemara has a whole discussion. See, I skipped a piece of Gemara because that would take us another hour. And the Gemara spends an hour trying to figure out how this woman who died is a Nara, became pregnant, was raped, and she gave birth, and is a viable being, and that being will inherit her Knas.
And all this occurred during Nara.
So the Gemara says that according to the biology of the Torah, again, you may tell me that you Googled it and Mr. Google came to a different conclusion, but in the Google of the Torah, there's no such possibility. That's, again, it would take us an hour to work through that. It's impossible that she has a ben, but she may have other yorshim. And the Gemara clearly indicates that let's go back for a second to Rava's first formulation about whether Yesh Baga Bekever ain't Baga Bekever. And the Gemara says the Nafkamina is who's going to collect the Knas? If you hold ain't Baga Bekever, the father is still in the driver's seat. He'll collect the Knas because everything is frozen at the moment that she died. If on the other hand you're going to tell me that she, pardon the expression, matures in the Kever and she becomes a Bogeres, then her son will inherit the Knas. Again, then the Gemara says, well, she has no son, we'll find another Yorish. That's Rava number one. That's totally antithetical to Abaye, because that only assumes she became a Bogeres 6 months after she became a Nara. But had she died and there was a Hamadah B'din before the 6 month period of time, then Rav has no doubt about it that the father will collect the Knas. That's antithetical to Abaye. But in the second formulation of Rav vacillated about whether Misa Osa Bagris, and we're talking within the 6 month period of time, and that means that she becomes Bogeres right now with her death, and then Afkamina is going to be who collects the Knas. Well, if the nafkamina is who collects the knas, that's not a bayit. In other words, if you hold yesh, I meant to say is misa osa bagrus. If misa osa bagrus, then what that means is that hayarshim will collect the knas. That's not what Abayi says. And this is the kasha of that flaw. I just want you to appreciate where that flaw is coming from. The Gemara indicates that one side of Abayi is to be identified with, one side of Rava should be identified with Abayi. That's not so. And that's what the flaw is yelling and screaming about. And that what that means is that since the Gemara is assuming from beginning to end that Knas lends itself to Yerusha, not like Alan's point, which is going to be accepted by other Shitas, but now we're going with that Shita, that Yesh Yerusha B'Knas, or Knas Nitan L'Yerusha. And that's the whole, that's what this whole sugya is about. You know, is it the Yoresh who gets the Knas, or is it the father who gets the Knas? If the father has terminated his chusim and his rishus over this girl, then the father's knocked out, and who gets the knas? It's the other yarshim, right? But if on the other hand we say, let's say ein misosa bagrus, that means she's still a nara, then the father is still going to collect the knas. That's called ein misosa bagrus. But if we say misosa bogeris, then the father's out of the picture. Well, if the father's out of the picture, like in a natural bogeris case, then who steps up to the plate to collect that knas? Well, normally it's a bogeris who's alive and well, but if she's not alive, then hayarshim will collect that knas. That's not a bayit. So Rabbo said, let's take a few minutes time, again, be patient, and let's go through the haflah. Okay, then, because our whole discussion today is the takeoff is the haflah. And we're on page Tav Mem Ches. Now what I'm going to try is Tav Mem Ches for the Ches at the end, right? So it's 448. Now what I'm going to try to do for expedience sake is to highlight and summarize and highlight. That's S and H, summarize and highlight. This sugya seems to clearly imply that Abaye is based on a certain logic. Why do we say so? Because the Gemara identifies Rava with Abaye in one side of his suffix, which is called Misa Osa Bagus, which means that we're asking the following question: did this girl leave, did she exit from the Rishus of the father? The answer is, the key word here is bagrus. Well, if misos of bagrus, then bagrus means she is out of the rishus of the father. And that applies in two cases. One, in the case of natural, healthy bagrus, where she's alive and well, Baruch Hashem. And in the case where misos of bagrus, where she's considered out of the rishus of the father the moment that she dies. Even though technically she's within that 6-month period since her 12th birthday, but that's irrelevant. By the way, if anyone is on a trip to Lita, then apparently there's a kever, somebody took a picture of it for me, of a girl named Berzon from Lita. And it's mamish in Slabodka, which is very close to where my father's family was from. And it's interesting, the kever has a picture of this girl, she's 12 years old now. So whenever I see this gemara about whether misos or bagrus, I think of that kever. I got a picture of it from my wife's first cousin, whose name is Eliyahu Dessler. Have you ever heard of the famous Eliyahu Dessler? This is the grandson of Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler. He has the same name as his grandfather. And he was in Slabodka, and apparently parts, if not the whole, I'm not sure exactly, but parts of the Beis Olam are still intact. And he saw the name Berzon, spelled exactly the way we spell it, with a picture of this young girl on it. That she had, we don't know the circumstances, but she had tragically died at the age of 12. So I just mentioned, if anyone's in Slabodka, please look for that kever.
The picture's on the Matseva?
Yeah, the Matseva is made up of two parts. There's the flat part, and then there's the part that right. Sticks up. So on the top of the part that sticks up, there's still a picture of, I don't know, you know, over the course of time, I don't know how much you could see. She was a young girl, but the name is the same name. I have no way of figuring out if she's a relative of mine, but I would bet 9 out of 10 that she's a relative of mine, because The name Berzon is quite rare, and Slabodka is mamish like next door to where my father came from. My father's family came from three different towns, you know. My sister, who just retired from the National Library, it took her 20 years of research to find the names of these towns on a map. They are so small, these shtetl. My father told me that his shtetl had 70 Jewish families, and so you're talking about like a minuscule. She finally found a map that had police on it. It was like a simcha gedolah for her, because she was doing her research for 20 years. And the next town over was called Globoka, and the third town was called... I forgot the name of it. There was Plisa, Globoka, and Germanovich. Those are the three towns.
Germanovich or Germanovich?
Germanovich, like German.
No, yeah. Not Germanovich.
And those are the three towns. Slabodka was like a stone's throw away. So anyway, I just tell you the story, because when I think of this kind of tragic situation of a Nara that died, I think of this Berzon girl. I mean, maybe she's a distant relative of mine. I don't know. By the way, somebody did research in Yad Vashem, and it turns out we were brought up assuming that somehow my father's family, was safe from Hitler, meaning that Hitler didn't kill. Well, guess what? We find out that my father's aunt was killed with all of her children, murdered by the Nazis, except for one child, and that child is still alive. And he has almost the same identical name as my father, and he lives in Chulon. And my family's trying to pressure me to go out and visit him before he died. He still has bullets in his body when he was shot as a young boy by the Nazis. Could you imagine? The bullet is still in his body. The man lives in Chulon.
Incidentally, Slobodka is not a name of a place. I'm told by Russians, I don't speak Russian, but Slobodka just means... It means a
suburb.
Suburb, right.
So Kovna is the name of the place. Again, I don't know if they pronounce it as Kovna, but Slabodka is a suburb of Kovna. But the Nazis did in Kovna and Slabodka is beyond. Yeah. I mean, it's not for us to imagine. Right? That there are any Lithuanian Jews that survive is a miracle. Anyway, I got off on a tangent. So let's get back. So what happens now? What we're saying is that if we take Abaye in the context of Rava, which is called Misa Osa Bagrus, and the Gemara identifies Misa Osa Bagrus with Abaye, even though that's Rava, but the Gemara says that this is the same as Abaye, then we're talking about making her into a Bogeris. So then, basically, you have to reinterpret the word Potter in Abaye. Abaye doesn't mean Potter, it means that the father is out of the picture. Because again, in the case of Bogeris, the Ma'anis is not Potter from Knas. He will pay Knas. The only question is, does he pay it to the father? Now Rashi, Dibar Maskel Misa, okay, so this is a Rashi on Marbar of Ashi. Let's see if we can find it. It's on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis, it should be, correct? I got disoriented. Where are we in Marbar of Ashi? Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. Wait, one second. Lamed Tes Amid Aleph, sorry. So there's a Rashi, Dibra Maskil Mesa. Oh, Misa Ose Bagus. Do you see it? If you have to count from the bottom of the page, I would say it's about 20 lines up from the bottom of the page. Or if you're counting from the thin lines up, it's about, I'd say, 9, 10, 11 lines up. Misa Osa Bagrus. Rashi says, Osa Din Bagrus, Dimifka'a Koacha'av Ki Bagrus. In other words, Alpi Din, she's like a Bogeris. How old is she? In other words, when was she born? She was born 12 years ago. 12 plus change. But Alpi Din, she's a Bogeris. So Rashi says, "Mein afkemina." Rashi says, "Mifka koach ha'av." Just like in the case of Bogeres, so Bogeres leaves the reshus of her father, so father has no koach over any of her monetary possessions, either past, present, or future. So too, in the case of Misa, Misa is considered alpidin bagus. It's not it's not in the physical world because we didn't count 6 months. And we're still within the 6 month period, you know, we may be a month after her 12th birthday, but nevertheless, Alpi Din, she's a Bogeres. And what does that mean, says Rashi? Is Mifka Koach Ha'av, Ki Bagus. It has the same status as a bogeris. If that be the case, then according to Rashi, when we say the misos of bagris, it means that the knas will be collected by hayarsh, any one of the yarsh, depending upon, you know, seder anachos. And he says the following, that the Gemara on Daf Lamentes of an Aleph, we didn't get to that yet, that Gemara is going to say that Ba'alehu Bagra, that if after the onus happened, she became a Bogeris, I mean 6 months, the 6 month period of time elapsed. In such a case, the father is out of the picture.
What does that mean?
Oh, what does that mean? So he says the following, that Kol Od, that even though the Maisa Afal Bishan Maisa Machayev Hoyevi Odenara, when she was Bishus Ha'av, even though the Maisa Machayev took place when she was in the Rishus of the father, but nevertheless, we have a pasuk that says Vinasan Lavi Hanara. Vinasan means he pays. Who does he pay? To whom does he pay? Sorry, to the Avi Hanara. Well, she's no longer a Nara. I have news for you. She became a Bulgaris.
But when?
Just 1 second. Umi Nayalfinon. Tosa says that as a result of this halacha, that with Bagrus, the father's rishus is paka, and he does not have rights to sue for the knas, is Ba'alev Nises. The same din says to supply if she gets married. Again, not with Erisin, but with Nisuin. Uknas Aliatzma. Right? So if anybody has a Gemara in front of them and you don't mind, I don't want to slow myself down, but if somebody could do the research for me and look up Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil Ma, then hopefully you'll find these words in Tosfos. Din Nisuin Motziin Rishusa. Says Tosfos, Hachi Nami. Here too, Goli Kra, the Misas Abbas, Motzia Mirshus Ha'av. So watch what happens over here. If you ask me, why is the father out of the picture in the case of Nisais? The answer is, I don't have a posuk for that. I derive that by virtue of a logical analogy to the case of Bogeres. Just like in Bogeres, she's out of the Mirshus of the father, so too in Nisua, she's out of the Mirshus of the father. If you ask me, why in the case of Misa, is the father knocked out? The answer is because of Goli Kra. Tosa says we have a pasuk. That's the pasuk that we saw Abai quoted. V'nasan lavi anara nara v'lo mesa. The Misa sabas motzia mirshus ha'av. U'memela ein aknas la'av. Now, in the next 2 words, which I'd like you to cover, because I want to pedagogically ask you a question, see if you could come up with the next 2 words. What problem, bless you, should we raise here? Again, in the case of Bogeris, we needed a pasuk. V'nasan lavi anara v'lo avi Bogeris. In the case of Nisais, we didn't need a pasuk. Why? Because Pakar Shusa'av. Now we get to the case of Misa Sabas. And we're holding now that Misa Osabagus. And yet we need a pasuk. What question should you ask me? No, nobody's following me. I'm a little disappointed.
All right.
Here, let me put the logic, you know, up on the board, so to speak. Here's the logic. We're going to derive from Bogeres that just like the father's rishus terminates when she becomes a Bogeres, le'inyan maisir deha, le'inyan schus tvia for halvos and odos, le'inyan afaras abal in Dorim. I can give you a whole list of all the rishuyos of the Baal that terminate the very moment she celebrates her half birthday, 12 and a half. That's called Bagus. Good. Does that apply to Knas? Has she left the rishus of the father as far as Knas is concerned? The answer is yes. And how do I know this? It says, V'nasan la vi'at naro, v'lo la vi bogeres. So the same din, and again, it's a big chiddush here, because in the case of Bogera, in the case of Knas, why would I have a habina that she doesn't leave the rishus of her father? She leaves the rishus of her father from A to Y, but not to Z. Why not?
Why not when?
Why do I need a pasuk in order to derive that even with regard to Knas, with Bagrus, she leaves the rishus of the father? Why don't I just say that in 25 out of 26 cases, she leaves the rishus to the father when she becomes bokesh. But why would I think that in the case of knas, maybe that's an exception to it?
Well, good. Do you have to know the case?
No. Rabbi said, if you can't answer this question, you have to tell me cases, then you're really not following the sugya. And I'm sorry that I'm being very hard with you. A woman leaves the rishus of her father with bagus. The father has no zchuyot in his daughter with bagus. Yet, for some reason, which I'm trying to explain, makes no sense ostensibly, we need a pasuk to tell us that the father doesn't collect knas when she becomes a bogeris.
Did he collect the knas before she was a bogeris?
No, we're talking now that he's coming to sue for the knas.
That's the only
question. And she's a bogeris.
Right.
Why would I have a havamina that the father, even though she left the rishus as far as everything on the list, I give you a longer list, longer yishah goals, right?
Yep.
And yet, as far as knas, we would have had a havamina that he collects the knas. You don't have to talk about cases now.
No, because
don't tell me cases. Just give me a logical reason.
Because the event occurred before she was
exactly,
a bogeris.
Same love that she took. The Maisa Machayev took place when she was in the rishus.
That's why there was that.
The collection of the chov is going to be taking place after she's a bogeris. Okay, so now we come to the following conclusion. That knas is not an exception to the rule. That knas will apply, we will apply to knas the regular standard rules of Paka Rishus Ha'av. Meaning, now when the father wants to collect a knas, the Torah says he has to have rishus over her. It's not enough that the Maisa Machayev took place when he had a rishus over, she was a nara. At the time that he collects the chov, v'nasan lavi a nara v'lo lavi bogeres, and therefore since he doesn't have rishus over, at the time of the Amud Bedin to collect the knas, she's out of his rishus.
Why is
says Tosfos, the same, now we can derive a conclusion. The same conclusion would apply logically without a pasuk if she gets married. After the onus, she got married. She's still a nara, but she got married. At this moment, the knas will not accrue to her father. Why? Because with nisuin, she leaves the rishus of the father as far as everything is concerned. You might say, well, knas is an exception. Tosfos apparently held that knas is not an exception. And I'll prove it to you, because we have a pasuk that says, v'lo nasan lavi a nara v'lo lavi bogeres. So it's just like bagus removes the rishus of the father, because at the time that Amud Bedin, she left the rishus of the father. Therefore, if nisuin takes place before that Amud Bedin, the father is out, because she left the rishus of the father. That's what Tosfos says. Don't blame me for that. That says in Tosfos. Now we get to the third case of Mesa. We're holding now that Mesa osa bagus, which means Mesa creates bagus, which means that when she dies, she is a bogeris alpidin. Rashi says she has a din bogeris, and therefore pakar rishus ha'ah. And yet, what question should we ask? Why does Abaye need a pasuk for it? Are we ready for this, Rav Osai?
Yes.
And that's what the Mikol Makom is. Mikol Makom, if you start the place, the Inon Lezed Drasha Mu Yuchedes, we still need a Bezunder pasuk. V'lo lavi, right? V'nasa lavi anara, v'lo lavi mesa, v'lo yalfina mi bagra. Why should we derive it from bagra? And if you can give me the answer without reading the next paragraph, then you are the stipler. That's not bad, you know, you're in good company. The only thing is, I don't know if I want to be the stipler today because he's gone. I'm clinging on to life.
Well, the point is that when you're talking about knas, you're talking about that does not belong to the av until he gets his hands on it, and if the din
right.
is when they decide on the knas is after the time of when he has rishus, she's a bogeris or she died, then he doesn't get it. If he was beforehand, she doesn't motzi it b'miyado when she becomes a bogeris, he has the money, he gets to keep the money.
We're talking about a case where he hasn't yet sued in a bezin, right? So he doesn't have the money. We're not taking any money out of anyone's bank account.
That's right, but you wouldn't.
But I'm asking the following question. Does he have rights to sue the Ma'anes for the Knas? We've already proven the following prepositions, the following principles. Number one, when she becomes a Bogeres, he does not have rights to sue for the knas. She's out of his rishus. Number two, if she was married, he does not have rights to collect the knas and sue for the knas because nisuin takes the girl out of the rishus of the father. Now we get to the case of Misa. And we're holding now that Misa osa bagus. Rashi says she has a din bogeris with death. And yet, we need a special drasha to prove that the father has no rights to sue for the knas. Well, what's going on over here? If Misa osa bagrus means we have an equation here between Misa and bagrus, then the father is out of the picture. Well, I'm not taking anything out of his bank account. Whatever he has in his bank account is fine. But now he wants to sue the ma'anis for knas. We're going to tell him, but sorry, buddy, but Misa osa bagrus. She's a bogeris. So why do I need a pasuk for that? In the case of Nisua, do we need a pasuk?
No.
No, we don't need a pasuk. Why do we need a pasuk for the case of Misa?
Why?
If you can answer this question, you're the stifler. But if you can just fofo with me, I would rather hear what the stifler has to say.
I'd like to hear what he has to say too, but if I can just ask you one simple
question. I'm happy about that.
I can ask you one simple question, though. Isn't there anything besides knas that he has a right to collect?
With what? With bagrus? Nothing.
No, before.
Nothing.
Why? Why isn't it?
Well, bagrus completely terminates his rishus.
No.
Not in Nidarin, not in Dini Mom, it's garnished. And if you hold that Misa osa bagrus, he has no rishus over this girl.
That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, is there chavala? Is there other things that he might owe? Because
what did you say, chavala?
Chavala.
You mean like chovil b'chaviro? Is that what you mean? Like Havola? Right. Like Nezek Zaripushev Zabosh?
He reduced her value when he raped her. When he raped her now she no longer, the dunya that she gets is not the dunya she would get before, which would go to her father, and therefore he owes that. That was ruined.
So you know what? I would ask that question after we see the stipler. Let's just see the stipler, and then we can ask your question.
Okay.
What does the stipler say? Let's take a look at it. The lulei hachzeres hakosav. I think I underlined that. Do you have that underlined? I don't know when you photocopied it. Before I underlined it, afterwards. Anyway,
before.
So you'll see a line that starts with the word dialfinon.
Dialfinon.
It's about six lines up from the end, seven lines up from the end of the paragraph. And the lulei hachzeres hakosav. Again, the stipler is trying to justify the need for Abaye's Gzeres HaKosev, when Abaye should have learned this and derived this conclusion based on Svar. He says the following. And this Rabosai, you know, I gave Shirim here on, and Alan, you were very much a part of that, and I think John, you were there too, on Derech HaLimud.
Yes.
And one of the major, you know, structures in the world of Lumdus is to differentiate between what's called Din and Metzius. But let's see how the stipler, I think, is going to use that structure to solve a major problem. Lulei hachzeres hakosav lo avi amrinan de misa sabas motzia mirshus ha'av. Why? Tiesh lomar to be emes gamli achar misas ha'bas nechshav ha'av bailim. So what does it mean when we say paka rishus ha'av with misa? Is that a halachic statement? Maybe not. He says, Be'emes, al pi alocha, gam li achar misas habas, nechshav ha'av kibayla, litvaz chuyos. But the only problem is that you know why he can't be toveas chuyos? Because his rights to the Isha, to be tovea haz chuyot, are generated by the Isha herself. And now, unfortunately, she's not alive. The Metzius, I would underline that word with three underlines. The Metzius Chosolo, there's no way that he can express, if he can manifest, his rights to her money because she's not alive. And if she's not alive, he cannot claim anything machmasa, so to speak. So the Metzius, the fact that she's dead, is therefore he can't sell anything. You know, like normally he has Rishus when she's an hour to sell her as an Amma, he can't sell her, she's dead. Normally he can be a Kaddish as an Ish and he collects the Kesef Kiddushin, and so forth and so on. All this is gone. But is it gone because of a Hafkal Pidin? Is it similar to the case of Bagrus or to the case of Nisuin? Maybe not. In the cases of Bagrus and Nisuin, the Torah establishes that those episodes will remove the rishus of the Baal. That's a halachic removal. The Baal's rishus goes up until a certain point. He can marry her off, he can this, he can that, up until the point she's a bogeris. He can marry her off and so forth, so up until the time that she's nesua. If she gets divorced from her husband, even though she's still a nara, the father can no longer be makadosh her, and so forth and so on. He can no longer sell her as an oma, because nesuin al pidin removes the rishus of the father. Not so in the case of Misa, or at least we're not sure about it in the case of Misa. Could it be that Misa is different than bagrus and nesuin? That in the case of Misa, chaser po b'metzias, there's a metzias problem over here. How could he be makadosh? How could he manifest and implement his rights to her when she's dead? Is mesapkalei l'rava? Rava therefore vacillates. Shema Misa eina osa bagrus. That Misa is not the same as bagrus, because Misa really never changed anything halachically, and the father should still have rishus. Again, he can't be mamanish lemameshet haschuyot. He cannot manifest them because she's dead. But that's a metzias problem. Comes along Abaye. And he says, you know what? I'm going to assume that Misa osa bagrus, but that's not gonna really cut the mustard, because Misa's not the same as bagrus. In the case of knas, of ma'anes, he's just collecting you know, the payment that was due his daughter when she was a naro and she was alive and well. And now that she's gone, maybe the father still retains his ownership over the knas, because knas is unique. Again, the mitzvah, he has no other ways that he can express his rishus. But the Torah never said that misa is mafkia, unless we have a pasuk for that. Mishum hachi isrich abai drasha dekra delo avia mesa. And what's it telling us? That Misa's Havas is Motziya Mirshus Av. You know, there's this halachic statement here that's being formulated and being created for the first time. You saw it first on stage. Right? And that is that Misa, like Bagrus and like Nisuin, removes the Rishus of the father. It takes her out of the Rishus of the father. It's not just that B'mitzias, he doesn't have a way of selling her as an Oma or marrying her off. And therefore, the Mitzias, he has no way of manifesting and implementing his skuyot. But rather, the halacha establishes that Misa Sabal is Bagrus, al pidin. And it means it's Mafkia and Motzi Osam Rishusa. And this is al pi the Kilus Yaakov, Ksubis, Simon Lamed.
It would seem that Abaya is. What he's learning it from a pasuk, what he's saying, when he says potter, he really means potter, because what he's saying it's not a metzias fact. It's like that she's dead, so she's dead. So where's not even like the Gilas Yankee wants to say that it's because his kayat comes through her, but it doesn't come with that at all. What I was asking about before is about that there is a chavala there that belongs to the father, period. That can't be taken away from him, because when it occurred, she was a naira.
That's like the case of a chov. Let's say, for example, right. Somebody owes a debt. Let's say chavala is like a debt.
Right.
Again, if it's kefel, it becomes complicated. But if it's a debt,
right.
Then the law is that the father can collect the debt. Now, when this Gzeiros HaKosev tells us that the father is excluded from Knas once she dies, and the way the Kilus Yaakov formulated is Itzrach Labai Krov V'lo Avliya Mesa the Misa Baal Motziya Mershus Ha'av, is he saying that as a separate halacha vis-a-vis Knas, or is he saying that in general he's out of the Rishus of, she's out of the Rishus of her father? I would say that any schuyot that accrued to him while she was alive, he has rights to collect even after she dies.
Absolutely.
If there are new schuyot coming in, then I'm not sure, because then we might say that if Misa is mafkia the father from the rishus of the father, then he no longer gets new rights. So Mikan, and we're going to discuss this a little later, then Mikan al-Aba, he has no rights. right now I'm assuming, and I think it's a fair assumption, that based on the logic of the stipul, the Yalfus of Abai is coming to teach me that just like Bagrus Alpidin removes the Rishus of the father henceforth, has nothing to do with any squiot that he had before she became Bogeris, right? But henceforth, so too Misa will remove the Rishus of the father as far as any Chiyuv that come henceforth. If we define Knas as a new Chiyuv that is generated by the Hamad Bedin, by the Psak Bezdin, right, then that's something that she's already out of his Rishus.
And it's time to the time of the Hamad Bedin.
Yes.
It's not time to...
I'll give you another example. Let's say, for example, because that's what Yosef was talking about, if there's Yerusha Bekever, let's say, for example, after she died, her mother died and left her a bomb of money. So in that case, I don't think her father would necessarily have rights if she has a son. I don't think the father would necessarily have rights. Why? Because his Rishus was Paka. And Yerusha is new money that's coming into our possession. Again, there's Roy, there's Muxok, I'm not going into that. Oh, Vakati Tzorach Ibn. Now we have the Afla. This was the Afla that I promised you from the beginning of the Shir. And he says the following. Let's assume, which we've been assuming throughout this sugya for very good reasons, the sugya is pretty outspoken about this, that other Morish Knas Labonov, which means that Knas lends itself to Yerusha. If that be the case, says the Aflah, I'm going to prove to you that we definitely need Abaye's Yalfusa. Why? Because in the absence of Abaye's Yalfusa, if all we have is Rava's Svara of Misa Osa Bagrus, okay, fine, Misa Osa Bagrus. That doesn't mean that there's no Knas. What that means is that the Knas passes on to the next of kin, the next in line of Yerusha. So for example, let's say, I don't want to say she has a son because that's virtually impossible, but let's say she has a brother, I don't know, whoever's next in line, he would inherit the Knas. That's not what Abai says. Says the Baal Afla, Abai says that the Ma'anis is part from Knas. Hare, Abai ka'omar ba'ale u'meisa potur. Here I would underline it. Mashma de potur ha-ma'anis legamre, you could, three underlines of the word legamre, mitashlumin. That's not rava. Meaning that's not the svara. The svara would be to say that the father is out of the picture because Miso is a Bagrus and she has the status of a Bulgaris, so he can't collect a Knas after she became a Bulgaris, as we said in the case of Bulgaris. But that doesn't mean that the Knas, that the Demanis is part of the Knas. He would have to pay to some other Yorish or to a Balchov. Let's say, I gave you the case where somebody owes her money. Let's turn it around the other way. Let's say she borrowed money during her lifetime and she has to repay that money, then the Yarshim would have to repay that money. Correct? So he's saying the following. Inem in the Misa Bagrus, Kibagrus, Havi Aknas Liatzma Kibagru. If we accept the equation between Misa and Bagrus, then she would collect the Knas had she been a Bogeris. Mim came in the case where she died, then the Knas would have to be paid to the Yorish. Now, if let's say she owes money, then there's a din of Shibud the Rav Nosa, which we're not going to go into, but the Knas would have to be transferred over to the person, the Balkov, the creditor of her, posthumously. So it's not shat that the Ma'anis is off the hook. And therefore, we must assume, says Afla, that Abai comes with a new drasha. And that drasha is a special halach in Knas. It's not halach in the father that Avianara, and he's no longer the Avianara. You know, his concern is now he's the Avia Bulgaris because of Mesa. And Mesa makes him to Bulgaris. No, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that this pasuk is teaching me a din in Knas. There's a ptur, a special afkas Knas. Again, Rashi doesn't seem to imply this, but actually that's not so, because Rashi is interpreting Rava, and then we're working with the Svara of Misa Osa Bagrus. That for sure is just afkar of the Rishus of the father, hence the Knas would be paid to Hayarshi. But now we're going with Abaye, and Abaye has Xeris HaKosu. That Xeris HaKosu is a Ptur, it's a Bzudra Ptur, a Chalashim Ptur in Knas. So we have, Rabbo said, we have now two pieces of lomdus, both of which justify the fact that Abaye needs a Gzeres HaKosov, he needs the Alfusa. It's just amazing to me how much you can derive from Tevek Lemisvara, you know, that why do you need a pasuk? We can derive it from logic. The first answer is that of the Stipler. The Stipler says that the reason why Abaye needs a pasuk is because who says that Misa could be Mafkia Knas? Maybe Misa terminates the Rishus of the father only because she's dead. And that's a Metzias, that's not a Din. How do we know that the Misa itself, Alpi Din, removes the Rishus of the father, and after Midas Legabe Knas, because the Machayev of Knas was already set and engraved in stone. So hence we need a Gzeres HaKosuv. And the second shot is the Hafla. The Hafla says the reason why we need a Gzeres HaKosuv is to knock off the Yarshim, if we're assuming that Adam Morish Knas Levanov, then in the case of Abaye, where after the onus she died, then her Knas should be bequeathed or transferred over to her Yarshim. That's not what Abaye said. Abaye went very far, as we say in modern Hebrew, hirchik lechet. And Abaye says that there's no Knas, it's potel legamre. The Ma'anis is off the hook. As we said before, let him celebrate the fact that this girl died. And why? Because there's a Gzeres HaKosuv. If not for that Gzeres HaKosuv, we would have said that Misa is Kibagrus to knock off the father, but then he goes to Hayarshim. Or in the case of Bogera, she's alive and well, she collects the Knas. In the case of after her death, she can't collect the Knas. She's not capable of doing so. But Hayarshim will collect the Knas. That's if you assume Adam Morish Knas Labanah. In King Tzarchle Shalim Ola Viha, Ola Yoresh Mimeno, Ola Malchov in Yeshla. So if she owes money, then the Ma'anis would have to pay that money to the person, I think it's called the creditor, who owns a chov. Yep. So again, just to summarize, we have two different approaches to answer the same question. Why did Abaye feel compelled to derive this halacha from a pasuk? Why not just say it's logical? Just like Bagrus takes her out of the rishus of the father, hence the father doesn't collect knas, and the suin takes her out of the rishus of the father, hence the father doesn't collect knas. So too, Misa, insofar as we say Misa also Bagrus, would take her out of the rishus of the father, hence he cannot collect knas. Why does Abaye need to go beyond the analogy, the logical analogy, and introduce a Yalfus?
It is possible also for Av, without a Abaye,
without the Gzeres HaKosuv.
Yeah, without the Gzeres HaKosuv, the Av can actually be Yoresh.
Correct.
From his daughter.
Right, he mentions that. You know, it all depends who's first in the Seder
HaYerusha.
Right.
But it's
you know, if she has a son, then her son comes before her father in Seder HaYerusha.
Yeah, but she can't have a son because
okay, let's say theoretically she could have a son. His case, right, instead of a son, is where she owes money, and the Baal Chov comes before the father or any other Yoresh, because there's already a Shibud Nechasin,
right,
as a result of the Chov. Okay, fine. Shibud or Raisbos. But now we get to the Yeshlama. And this, I think, is really the clincher of our whole discussion. I was very excited about this paragraph that starts with Yeshlomar. I even checked it off. That certainly proves how important it is. And it's funny because he doesn't really tell you who's talking. It's, I'm not sure if this is our flaw, or this is the stifler, or this is the Mishkan Osa wrote. He says the following. The Yeshlomar, the Abaye Svirale, the Mitzara Svara, Amrinan, the Misa Osabagus. Abaye also embraced the logic of Rava and that side of Rava called Misa Osabagus. And how do we know this? Because Michad Kroa Darshinan. I don't know if this thought crossed your mind, but there's something very, very paradoxical about this sugya. Because we've been operating with the assumption that Abaye came up with a new drasha. Is that really so? In other words, you've convinced yourself that Abaye was desperate, and logically he couldn't have come to his conclusion. He needed a drasha. And we've given two very solid reasons why he needed that drasha. But the paradox is that he doesn't really have a drasha, with all due respect to Abaye. Because this very possible in Nasan Lavi Anara is the source, in the Gemara later on in Daf Lamentes, for Velo Avi Bogeres. So once we've used Velo Avi Anara, Velo Avi Bogeres, you can't use the same possible to derive another conclusion, Velo Avi Mesa. And you're going to have to say that Miso Sabagus is a Svara, and then we have a syllogism. If the father loses his rights to the Knas when she becomes a Bogeres, if Misa makes her into a Bogeris, hence the father loses his rights to collect the Knas when she dies. That's all based on one single Gzeres HaKosu of an Asan Lavi Anara Velo Lavi Bogeris. That just like Fagris takes her out of the Shus of the father for X, Y, and Z, it takes her out of the Shus of the father for the purpose of, for the rights to collect Knas. From here on in, you don't have a Gzeres HaKosu. Because it's, you know, Abaye's just hanging on to the same exact pasuk. It says, "V'nasan lavi anara," and nara excludes bogeres. So there's no new gzeres akosu to explain, well, you know, maybe Misa's different, as the disciple says, it's only mitzius, it's not alpidin, it's not that flaw, that we're generating a new ptur in knas, as opposed to where does he direct the money to. It's the same exact pasuk. So here, and again, I'm going to assume this Nafla, I didn't get a chance to look at Nafla, but he says the following. He says that Mikra Yisera, this is line number 4 in this paragraph, Mikra Yisera Yalfina, and I'm skipping the Kra for a second just to get the thrust of what he says, Yalfina and Debalel Mesa Potaligari Miknas. So the Afla said that we need a pasuk to justify that no one else will collect the knas. Meaning that it's not just a halacha like Bagrus, which would mean that she gets to collect the knas, and if she's dead, then let her Yorshin collect the knas, but in any event, Demanis has to pay the knas. No! There's a Kroy Yisera, and that Kroy Yisera is going to teach me that Baal El Mesa Potulagare Niknas. Not that he has to redirect his knas to her Yorshin, but that he's absolutely potul from knas. Now, where is this Kroy Yisera? It's the word Hanara. Does anybody happen to have a Chumash here? Anyway.
Well, Hanara loses the.
No. What I mean to say, I just wanted to double check in the Chumash. There are three words here that are totally superfluous. And they are Vinasan, Lavi, Hanara. So, for example, what does it say before that?
I don't
remember the psukim. We have it here in the Torah R, but I'm just right now I'm a little bit lazy to look for it. So he says that the word hanara is also extra. Now this is a sugya at the very beginning of the perek that you may remember that we spoke about. It could have said nara without a hay at the end, or it could have said nara without the hay at the beginning. So when it says Hana Ara, there are extra drushes over here. I'm not right now, if you don't mind, I'm not interested in the technicalities of it. You just accept it on blind faith that the flaw is not misleading. There's more than one extra pasuk here for a drush. And this is critical for the perspective of the flaw, because the flaw says that you can't just say that there's no knas in the case of Bogeres, and B, Misa is Bagrus, that's not going to do it for you. Because if you're going to go with that logic, then you can come to the conclusion that the Ma'anis has to pay the knas, albeit not to the Isha, because she's dead, but to Ayarsha. Because again, we're totally influenced and limited by the derivation from this possible for Bogeres. The answer has to be that we're not limited to the logic of Bogeres, but rather we have a special Gzeres HaKosu. And he says, now we have a real problem. And this is the problem that I mentioned to you at the beginning of the shiur. How did the Gemara identify Rava in the case of Misos and Bagrus with Abaye, who has Xeris HaKosa? How did the Gemara make the statement, Milsa de Pshitele Abaye, mi boile le Rava? That Rava, in one of his two tzadim, which is called Misos and Bagrus, accepted and embraced the sheet of Abaye. That's not true. Hem shnei in yodim nifradim on the top left. Shari labaye never can din ptur knas ligamre. Right, we underlined the word ligamre in the previous paragraph with three lines under it, right? which means that there's no Seder Yerusha over here. Masha Enki, he says in Rava, even according to the Tzad in Rava that says Misos and Bagrus, Ein wasn't Din Ptur. It's not some new Chalov Shem Ptur. There's so much Reb Chaim in this language. Ela HaKnas LiAtzma. She collects the Knas. And therefore, if she's dead, her Yoshua writes the Knas. But the Amanis is not off the hook. In Cape Shita Leila Rava Deloka Abaye. The Gemara should have said that certainly Rava is antithetical to Abaye, because Rava is only discussing knocking off the father because Misos and Bagrus. Abaye is saying something much more far reaching, namely there's a Ptur of Knas. Nice. And we're going to tell the Ma'anis good news that he's off the hook. Yeshlomer. Now, this I think is a kvetch. But let's see, maybe you gentlemen will like it. I mean, I find it to be a real push. You know, this is like an elephant into the eye of a needle. I don't know. Yeshlomer the Hachi Kamar. This is what the Gemara means. Milse de Pshitele Abaye Mitzad Asvar de Misos Abagrus. In other words, he's saying that Abaye is a two-step process. Stage number one is the Svara of Rava, which is called Misos Abagus. Again, Rava's not sure about it, but one side of Rava is a Misos Abagus. Oh, says Abaye, once you go this far, then my drush is going to take you the balance of the way. You know, you already passed the 50-yard line, I'm going to take you all the way to the end zone. And why is that so? Because you've already indicated that the reshus of the father is out. So as far as we know, the father is completely out of the picture once she dies. Ah, you know what? If the Torah went out of its way to add the word hanara, and it's an extra word, then what the Torah means to tell us is that once she left the reshus of the father, she left the reshus of the knas, if you follow what I'm saying. If there's someone alive, if the nara is alive, then the father is really just representing the nara. And that he can do up until the time that she's a bogeris. If she's no longer a nara, now she's a bogeris, then let her collect the knas liatzma. From the get-go, really the knas belongs to her. However, she's an Arab, so the father gets reshus to collect her knas. But it's really her knas. Once we knock the father out of the ballpark, then Mimela, she collects the knas. Because really, from the get-go, it's really her knas. Masha Enki, when she dies, that's already a whole different thing. Here the Torah is telling us that if she's a Mesa, and therefore she's not included in Nara, Then the whole enterprise of the Knas goes down the tubes. Because we've already established that the father's out of the picture based on the Svara of Misos and Bagrus. Now you want to say we're still holding on by the thin thread that holds on to a loose tooth, saying that maybe there's still Knas. Why? Because maybe her Yorshim should inherit the Knas name. We're not going to say that. We're going to say that here the extra word Anara is teaching us that she's got to be Anara who's well preserved, just alive and well. She goes to the gym a few times a week. You know, she's on her high school basketball team, and she's fine. She's very, very healthy. She does gymnastics, and she does all sorts of different tricks, right? So she's alive and well. And that's what the word Anara is coming to exclude. Once she's dead, then the knas goes down to the kever with her. The father is out of the picture because Misos and Bagrus, and that's a svara. To go one step further and say now the whole enterprise of knas goes down the tubes because there's no woman here who's alive for the amud of the din, and if even the ocean can't pick up the skus, we just need an extra clincher for that, and that's the extra word.
But if she, if
I find this a little different.
If she didn't die until after the knas was established, then it would go to the regular yorshim.
No, it would go to the father. Forget about the yorshim, because then it's the nasam lavi anara. Nasam lavi anara means the moment of hamad b'din. I don't care whether the check cleared.
That's
irrelevant.
Oh, that, it is. Oh, I thought that would be a separate year. Okay.
Now again, all this is based on one premise. This whole presentation, namely that Adam Morish Knas Levanam.
Right.
However, that's not true according to all Rishonim. Shita Satosis is Ein Adam Morish Knas Levanam. Mm-hmm. If that be the case, then really we don't need a Gzeres HaKosov. And Abai is just reiterating what we had in Bogeres. Remember, it's the same Pasuk. V'nasan Lavi, Lavi Anara, Anara V'lo Bogeres, Anara V'lo Mesa. Well, it's not a new drasha. Abai is going back to the Svara called Misos Avagros. Now you'll ask me the question, well, if Misos Avagros, then let HaYarshim inherit through the Knas. The answer is, Eino the Morish Knas Levon.
Yeah, but what if, but if there was a Shibud on it? There was an
she would what on Hanachasin?
Yes.
It's irrelevant. I'll tell you why. Because Eino the Morish Knas Levana, meaning the Baal HaChov, we'll call him the creditor, right? He comes to collect his chov, she's gone, and he goes to Hanachasin. Well, I'm sorry, buddy, but there's no Knas over here. But why is there no Knas? Because she died. And if she died, what went down to the kever with her was the onus, was the Knas. Why? Because she has no possibility of bequeathing that knas to anybody else. So when the Baal Chov comes and he wants to collect from that 50 shekel, we're going to tell him to fly the coop because there ain't no 50 shekel. There never will be those 50 shekel.
Is that true?
And that is true.
Because, well, because
she's already a Bogeres who's Mesa. Well, why do I have to add that she's Mesa? The fact that she's a Bogeres means that we redirect the Knas because we mafkir the Rishus of the father with Bagris, and now she collects the Knas. The fact that she's a Mesa completely detonates or neutralizes, I'd say, the Knas, because there's no way that anyone can pick up that Knas, because ain't on the Morish Knas. The Knas doesn't lend itself to.
So what do you think he can't? What does it make the other person butter from having to pay it?
You're right, it's not really a p'tur. Again, he's saying now that according to Shitzat Tos, there is no Gzeres HaKosov. There's no new halacha of a p'tur. It's simply that the Knas dissipates into thin air.
There's no chiyuv.
I'm not sure. When you say, you know, the Morish Knas Levonim, is that the same as saying there's no chiyuv? I don't know. Maybe you could say such a thing. But what I would rather say is that the Knas is buried with her death, because the father's out of the picture because, like any Bogeres, his Rishus is part. Now you want to say, well, what about her other Yarshim? Let them inherit the Knas. There's no such thing as being Morish a Knas. So where is the Chiyuv Knas? It's 6 feet under, if you pardon the phrase.
It's all right.
It's not the same as saying a Ptur, because for that you need Gzeres HaKosov. But we don't need Gzeres HaKosov because there's no manifestation of this Knas. So the Manis can go home and celebrate that he won't have to pay the Knas. The reason why he doesn't pay the knas is not because he's a greasy Yashikaya, he deserves shishi. It's because the Nebuchadnezzar can't claim the knas. Why? Because the knas went down to the water, to the grave. So you're supposed to say the rest of this we'll pick up tomorrow, but I want to just finish up what we started yesterday. So if you can, and maybe I'll borrow, but you know what, I'll use a pen, it doesn't matter. If you can make a note that we're up to Tav Resh Pei Dalet, I believe that for tomorrow. Yeah, Yosef.
It seems to me that just the father and the girl are potential partners to receive this knas. And the father, like Alan was saying,
if you say her value, or even if on the
motor. No, before. But once she dies, then the father, then there's nothing to talk about because his whole relationship to her as a Na'ara was based on the fact that she's alive.
Well, again, you know, I'm thinking of the Stipler here. If he was alive, the Stipler, he would say to you that that's not 100% precise because if she's dead, then the Metzius, he has no way of connecting to any monies that will accrue to her. But that's only a Metzius. It's not really a Hafkal Pidin, at least in the Halavi. And I don't know, in the Maskar, I'm not sure. You know, once we have the Pesach in Asan Levi Adnara. So again, Rabbi Moshe, just to summarize, if I were to quiz you, and whenever I ask you a question, the answer is depends. I'm not looking for a simple answer. Here's my quiz question. Does Abai need Gzeres HaKosov, or does he not? And your answer will start with the words, it depends. Like when you, in the old days, I didn't take the law boards, but a number of my friends took the law boards. And very often the law boards, what they would do is they would start a sentence for you, and then you have to write an essay based on that opening. So Rabbi Hecht was my Rebbe in high school, my ninth grade, Michael Hecht.
Oh yeah, he's my son's Rebbe.
So he told me, I was I think his second class teacher, he was a young man, he was still in law school, and he told me, later on, I mean not when I was in the shiur, but years later, he told me that on his law boards, they started the sentence with one word, why? And they wanted to test your ingenuity, you know, how creative you are, to see how you can take the word why and make some sort of creative essay on it. Anyway. So I'm looking for an answer to the question, does Abaye need a Gzeiras HaKosim? It depends. Who can finish me up? Here's the answer that I'm looking for. If you hold Adam Morish Nas Labanov, then he needs a Gzeiras HaKosim. Because then he's creating a whole new Chalshin Ptur. Whereas if you all like Tosis and Shita, ain't on the Morish Levana, then there's no need for Gzeiras HaKosim. Because the Knas just goes down in the grave, and there's no one to collect the Knas.
Right.
Hence, we left with a biased conclusion without using any sort of Gzeiras HaKosim. Now, you may say, but the Gemara says that Abaye derives it from a Pasuk, but we have a technical foul, because that very Pasuk is going to teach us Boderes. Unless you assume Hana Ara, you know, it's a separate judge. So, Bosai, at this point, I'd like to finish up what we discussed yesterday, and I would ask you to turn to page. I don't know if anybody made a note on it. I'm always looking for my little notes. I think it's Kuf Mem, but I'm not sure. So, one second. No, I think we finished with Kuf Mem. Oh, yeah, we did Kuf Mem Aleph. Oh, I think we're up to page Kuf Mem Aleph. Os Kuf Lamed Gimel. That's on the left side of the page. That's what I think we got up to. But before, I just want to review it, the Kitzur Nimratz, what we did in Kuf Lamed Beis. In Kuf Lamed Beis, we presented a machlokas between two of the Balei HaTosfos, the Ritzvah and the Ri, about the following discussion. What happens if the Ochel, or the Nitchav, if you want to call him that, commissions the Tochev, which is called Tochev Mirtzono? And here we have a fundamental machlokas between the Ritzvah and the Ri. The Ritzvah says, the very moment that the Tochev places the Truma or the Chelev into the mouth of the Nitchav, at that very split second, even if it's Matzi Ladure, the Nitchav becomes Chayav B'Tashlumin as a Gazlan. Based on his intellectual decision that he's not giving it up. You know, he's keeping it in his mouth, he's going to eat it, he has no intention to return it. That idea, says the Ritzvah, of hoarding something, if I could use that term, that belongs to someone else, that's enough to make you into a Gazlan.
A Gazlan.
The Ri is not able to tolerate that. Why? Because lo asa shumaisa. He did no action whatsoever. The Ri says, in order to be chayav as a gazlan, be inon maisa. And therefore, if it's lo motzi la dure, and he decides that he's not going to cough it up, that doesn't make him into a gazlan.
Motzi la dure.
I'm sorry, motzi la dure. What did I say?
I said lo.
Okay, sometimes I get confused, yeah. I don't want to tell you what time I woke up today. So that's called Matzi Ladura. Right? So the fact that he decides that he's not going to regurgitate it, even though he can, that doesn't make him into a Gazlan, because he's in a state of Shevi Altas. He needs a Maisa in order to make him into a Gazlan. Then we get to the next stage, which is called Lo Matzi Ladura. Well, at that point of Lo Matzi Ladura, then he has something called Hanos Grono Me'ayov, and he's chayav for that even though he's chayav misa at that point. So now we have to understand why there's no kinlev the rabbi according to the Ri. And
why is he chayav misa?
He's chayav misa because it's true when he's a zar, or he's chayav misa because it's chayav.
Yeah, but he got there so he was lo matzi la'adurei.
No, he made it into lo matzi la'adurei, so that's called an achila.
How did he make it into lo matzi?
He takes a gulp.
He takes what?
A gulp. G-U-L-P.
Yeah, he did it himself.
He did it himself. That's according to the Ri, because he's not going to tolerate the Ritzvah. The Ritzvah says, as soon as he decided, even though it's matzi la'adurei, that he's not going to cough it
up. Yeah, he's not going to.
Even in that situation, it becomes a gazlan.
He won't accept that because there's no maisin.
No maisin.
Okay, but...
So now, in order to make him into a gazlan and say that he's chayav tashlumin, he has to do a maisin. That maisa will coincide with his chayav misa. Why? Because once he makes it lo matzi la'adurei, that's called hanos grono hanos me'ayim. Again, as I said many times, you know, that requires a study into itself. This sugya is so multifaceted. But let's just grant that it's already at least it's hanos grono. You know, once it's.
But like, if the dochev was dochev to a point where it was lo matzi la'adurei,
then he's certainly not chayav because he doesn't have to do a maisa. It's already gone from the world. Yeah. It's totally stolen before. But we're talking about our sugya. In our sugya, the dochev put it into a place of matzi la'adurei. Yet the Gemara says that he's already chayav. Why is he chayav? So the Ritzvah is going to say he's chayav because it's in his mouth. And he can make a kinyan zela in his mouth by through chatzah, by excluding anybody, you know, I call it hoarding, you know. It's like
I left her here.
Wait, we still have 5 minutes, huh?
Yeah, that's my granddaughter.
Oh, I hope she's telling you good news. But for the time being, let me just finish in 5 minutes here. So now it comes out the following. That based on a machlokas about how to define zela, we have two interpretations of the Gemara of matzi la'adurei, which Gemara says nahad. Why is he chayav at that point? We have the Ritzvah's interpretation, he's chayav already at that point. Why? Because he decides that he wants to keep it in his mouth and he's not coughing it up. That makes him into a gazlan, even though lo asa maisa. And now we have the shita of the Ri. The Ri is saying, no, we need a maisa. So what the Gemara means is lo matzi that he becomes chayav when
when you're talking about what we did by machshava.
When you cross a line, when you cross a boundary line. Traverse? Is that the word?
Yeah. Traverse.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. Because my wife's always telling me I make up new words. When he traverses that line between matzi la'adurei and lo matzi la'adurei, that's the action of gulping it, at that point he becomes chayav, and that's simultaneous with his kliyumis.
That's true.
But Rabbi Kivega is not like that. Rabbi Kivega holds that according to the Ri, the case of the Ri is that the tochev is holding on to a little pole which is pierced through the chelev or the truma. That's called a kush.
Right.
Nothing to do with Megillas Esther, but that's called a kush. And he says the following. Rabbi Kivega, here's the machlokus between the Ritzvah and the Ri. Why does the Ri object to the Ritzvah? The Ri would accept the Ritzvah, that inside the mouth you could be konas something. But not if it is connected to outside of his mouth. So in other words, there's something called avir chatzer. Again, there's a whole sugya b'metziah. So if a bird, let's say, would fall into the air of the chatzer, then you could be koneh even before it hits the ground. Right, if it's heavy. But not so if you're holding on to something and you place it into the avir of the chatzer, but you could pull it back.
Like the get.
Like Mashiach HaBiyadu and get. So that's called a kush. And he says the following: Kevet shamachil tachuv bekush, o biyad chavero. In other words, either he's
holding. It's not really there.
Exactly. Kahai gav the loavi kinyan. So in other words, Rabbi Kivega's take his take on this machlokas in the Ri and the Ritzvah has nothing to do with our discussion about matzil aduri lo matzil aduri. It really hinges on whether or not there is a kinyan in the case of something that's in the avir of a chatzah, but it's being held by a hand or by a kush that's outside of the avir of the chatzah.
Doctor, again, doctor.
And he says,
And he says the father, listen to the nafkamina that Rabbi Kvegan develops. This is very fascinating. He says, "V'chai gav nalav yikin came into mechubar ledover sha'achar ledover achar shu mechutz lepiv, and therefore it's only in the avra piv. Avol im hu atzmo achaz hamachol bikatzehu.
Hu atzmo is the nitchav."
Just one second. I spent a lot of time on that question. I'm trying to remember what my final conclusion was. Just give me a second. Sorry. I'm pretty sure it means the ochel. But wait, just give me one second to work out the nitty gritties here. The nuances. He says, "Avol imhu atzmo ochaz amachol bekatzeiut mitochav lepiv." Oh, so this is not the case of Kulish. This is going to be the case where even the Ri would agree that he's chayav, and he made a kinyan zela. Why? Because it's inside of his mouth, and it's not mechubar ledover acher. Why? Because he's holding on to the machol bikatzehu. Now again, I'm not exactly sure how he's doing this, but somehow he's grabbing onto the machol. The tochev already put the machol inside the path of the nitchav in such a way that there's nothing outside of the path that's holding on. You know, that you could pull it outside the avir. Now, I'm not sure exactly what happens here. You know, it's sort of like I pass the baton, so as soon as I let go, you pick it up. At some point or other, the ochel takes control over this
mechanism.
Of this chelev or truma. And now, even though he's only holding on to katseu, he's only on to part of it, that's enough to close it inside his mouth, so to speak. It's no longer mechubal d'abrachir, that's outside of his pet. And therefore, he makes a kinyan on it. Why? Because it's in his pet, and there's nothing holding on to it outside. He says, now he asks the following question. What happens if part of the truma, let's say it's a bagel, you know, it's a truma bagel, right? Or some sort of lachmania that's got a length to it, right? So he's holding on to it on one end, mm-hmm. but part of it is still outside of his mouth. In Kenyan Yad, like Hagbah, for example, you're only kona that which was in your hand. And if, let's say, this part of it is still below 3 tefach, because Hagbah requires lifting it up 3 tefach, and you're not kona that, we could actually split the object into two. So in classic Kenyan Yad, he would not be kona that part of the object that's outside. Agmar is assuming that he's chayav, meaning he's chayav for the whole thing. So Rabbi Kvegi came up with a chiddush, and he said the following, which is similar to Agbar, that part of the object that's below 3 tefachim. So some reason that Kinyan Peh is different than Kinyan Yad, because Kinyan Peh works midin chotzer, and if you have an object that's partially in the chotzer in such a way that the other part of the object will be schlepped into the chotzer, then you kona the entire object as one end. But what do we get from this whole Rebbe Kibbeger for our purposes? Afari mode that the lo bein and meisel is chayiv midin gazla. He's already chayiv once it's in his Peh, and he decides to hold on to it bikatzehu, and he's not willing to kof it.
He has the control over it.
He has the control, but he hasn't done any maisa yet. That's what he's saying. It's being grasped by the base of liya.
He could take it out.
He could cough it up.
He's not taking it out.
But he's decided not to cough it up. So that decision not to cough it up would make him chayav for as a gazlan, even according to the Ri. Why? There's no maisa. Why should his decision make him into a gazlan? And the answer is, because we have a Kinyan Yachta, a Kinyan Chatzah, a Kinyan Peh. Just one second. And a Kinyan Peh is going to make him into a gazlan once he makes that. Now again, that's not the way we interpret the Ri. We thought according to the Ri, there's no such thing as a Kinyan without a Maaser. But the Reb Kvegis is proving to us not so, because Reb Kvegis says that he is kone, even according to the Reb. Not only is he kone, he's even kone that part of the truma that's outside of his mouth. That's the extent of the Kenyan path, as we call it. But where was his meisel? Is lefizeh half a remote that the lo meisel is chayavim in gaz. You see that Reb Kvegis had a different take on the Re, not the way we presented it, that the Re argues against the Ritzbah and rejects it because there was no Maisa, right, when he decides that it's not going to be regurgitated, but rather we're going to go with the Reb Kvegis that says that even the Re would say you can have a Gaza, a Kinyan Gaza without a Maisa, if he decides not to cough it up. In the case of the Tolka, he put it so deep into his mouth that
he can't bring it back up.
That there's no way he could pull it back out. Even though, again, maybe part of it he could pull out, but we're going to look at the object as one. Okay, Rabbi, so you'll go with this Reb Kvegis when you have a chance. I'm going to dab Mincha now. I don't know if he's ready for Mincha yet.
This is our technical.
But if you could do me a favor, and I want you to make a note that we're up to Os Kuf Lamed Gimel. Because I have trouble.
Oh, that's easy to remember. That's a
clog?
Yeah, it's a clog.
But let me write it for myself. What is today? Today is Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay, for Wednesday.
Today is Tuesday.
Yeah, so what day in Tammuz are we?
We are...
Hey. So for Wednesday, we're up to Os Kuf Lamed Gimel, which I had prepared for today, that's in the Nesivos. And we're on page Kuf Mem Aleph, that's number one. Okay. And number two is we're up to Tuf Mem Ches. So we want to finish today's discussion. And Os Tuf Resh Pei Dalid De Amud Tuf Mem Ches. So the good news is I don't have to do any photocopying for you tomorrow. I mean, thank God for that. That takes a headache
out. Isn't there some have? There's a size.
I'm just trying to touch a bit of chassis. Oh. So let's go in now and we'll
Chutzner have dimensions. It's not anything.